Yo, what is up, Jay Bird watching fans? Welcome to the official Blue Jays pregame show, at least for this week. Recording a little bit earlier because we have an extra hour to play with the Blue Jays in the Central Time Zone. First pitch is not until 8:10, so we will start the show early and we will get it done so we can go off and watch Blue Jays baseball. But there is some stuff to talk about between now and then before we get into the agenda. Adam Corsair, Craig Borden, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Good, man. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. Having a great time, especially with some of this border announcements today and yesterday. So yeah. If people have missed it, I believe starting in July, Canadians who are fully vaccinated do not need to have a 14-day quarantine when they come back to Canada anymore. And Canada also confirmed 7 million doses of Moderna being delivered in June. And so second doses for people are looking like they will be pushed up a little bit. So, gentlemen, I don't know. I might be able to cross into your neck of the woods sooner rather than later.
Oh, damn. Oh, shit.
Well, I told you we got to hurry up and meet up in Buffalo. I'll turn in a bunch of hotel points, and we'll have a old-fashioned drinking and ball game weekend. And, Adam, there's still money in the slush fund. You can hurry up and get your ass down here, too.
Let's do it.
If that can happen, that does sound like a very good weekend. Just Craig, hopefully you won't be as hurt and as bad as you were the morning that we went out in the big bad Buff.
Yeah. That was a combination of, oh my god, we drank way too many different kinds of beers and it was hot as shit.
Yes.
It was the middle of August, wasn't it?
We won't go down that path. I think people get the picture. But yes, the Blue Jays are still playing their games in Buffalo, and they just finished a three-game series to end the homestand against the Houston Astros over the weekend. Craig, let's start with you. The Blue Jays won one of the three games on the Saturday when they won Ross Stripling's start. Part of my logic for making him my pick to click was, you know what, he goes out and gets the win and he pitches okay, maybe he will do more than your guys' offensive pick. So we'll have to evaluate that at the end of the show. But that being said, was there anything that really stood out to you, Craig? Maybe it's Ryu's blow-up on Friday, which was the most amount of runs he's given up in a start in his Blue Jays tenure. Not that it's anything to worry about moving forward, really. Was it Vlad cementing the win on Saturday? It just felt like a series that didn't have too many highs. And you know what? A blowout loss like that, I wouldn't call it a crazy low. But wasn't too many highs, too many lows. It's just a series that they didn't play overly well in. I don't know if there's anything that stood out to you there.
I think it was just like, did they let the air out of the tires or something? It seemed like they had the momentum going into that series, and it just seemed like it kind of took a skip beat, you know? Maybe it was the Ryu start that like kind of like, you know, threw them off a little bit or whatever, but it just didn't seem like they were firing on all cylinders like they were the week before, offensively especially. You know, it was one thing that they put up the one day they put up the crooked number, and then the rest of it was kind of, so... Yeah. It's amazing what happens to this team when the offense doesn't completely click and gives them a chance to stay in ball games, because we saw what happens when the pitching doesn't do quite just enough, and then, you know, they just can't stay in the ball game enough to keep going. But they could have done a lot better in that series, and it was disappointing to see them do what they ended up coming out of that.
Adam?
I don't want to be the downer of the group, but you know, watching that series made me realize that first of all, for all the hate and all the vitriol that the Astros get, and you know, deservedly so, for you know, their cheating antics, yeah, I'm not even gonna hide from it. They're legit and they're proving it, and I think they have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and something to prove when it comes to being legitimate contenders without the cheating, or maybe a different form of cheating. I don't know. But I got to tip my cap to the Astros there, because they performed rather well. It was pretty impressive. That being said, what I did evaluate from the Blue Jays, and I know they took a game, but what I did evaluate from the Blue Jays from not just that game, but last night's game is against the White Sox, which I'm sure we'll touch on briefly. But I'm not sold completely. And, you know, I'm going to duck out of the way. I'm not sold completely that this team is playoff caliber quite yet. There were a lot of mental errors that you don't want to see a team that's, you know, in contention and the AL East make. Some boneheaded plays, some miscommunications, I'll say, Gray Chuck. just some things that I thought I'm not completely sold. And I think we're resting our laurels on the fact that George Springer is coming back. But I don't know that George Springer alone is going to be the key to help this team become playoff contenders. And if we're relying on that, I think that's a huge issue. Same thing with like a Thomas Hatch or even a Nate Pearson. If we're relying on those types of ingredients to help this team, I think we're in trouble. So from what I've walked away with, that, there's still a lot of growing to be done with this team. And I'm sure I speak for all of us that I was disappointed even in spite of that one win.
Yeah, I want to stick with you on a comment that you made there, because I think it is a good point. Yes, they are a decent to good team right now. They're still above 500. They're still very much in the race for a wild card spot. And I know it's what, middle of June at this point, but yeah, you got to start looking at the standings, because we're about a month away from the trade deadline and they're going to have a decision to make. Do we add and sell off some more assets from the farm? Or do we just stand pat and hope we get in from what we have and guys coming back from injury? Kind of like that old famous Alex Anthopoulos saying, oh, we're getting this guy back from injury. It's like a big trade deadline acquisition. No, there will need to be some hard decisions to be made. But Adam, do you attribute some of your feelings maybe towards how injured this bullpen is right now? Because this bullpen is not strong right now at all. Chatwood has been terrible the last few weeks. If it's not anybody outside of Dolis or Romano at this point, it's hard to trust the rest of the guys down there right now, which sucks because some of them had really good spurts a couple of months ago, like Payamps and Castro and other guys. Is that the biggest worry of yours so far, or where the team is right now moving forward?
I think those worries and that narrative is especially exacerbated by the fact that, you know, Robbie Ray pitches a 13 strikeout game and the bullpen blows it. And I think anytime you want to see that, I think it was, what was it, 5 runs in the eighth innings last night. Yep. Anytime you see that, you're going to have your concerns, and those concerns are going to be very loud. Do I think that bullpens ebb and flows and have peaks and valleys throughout the season? Yes, I do. I don't think going out and spending an exorbitant amount of money on bullpen talent is the wisest move. I do think, you know, sort of they're a dime a dozen, but the fact that this bullpen as constructed headed into the season isn't what we have right now because of injuries. You know, David Phelps is out for the year. These arms that we were relying on, Barucki, we still don't know what's going on with him. I think
Kirby
he's in the
Yates
throwing,
even not even getting a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Barucki in a throwing program right now? Is he tossing?
I haven't heard much on him at all.
Okay, so there you go. So like, there's a lot of vague references when it comes to these pitchers that we sort of need. I don't know. We can't be relying on the Anthony Castros. We can't be relying on the Payamps, even though Payamps has been okay. We can't be relying on, you know, Tim Mazes. We can't be relying on these names to get us to a playoff spot. We need solid, dependable bullpen help. So, yes, I do think that the bullpen is the most glaring issue right now. And with the loss against the White Sox the way it was, it's going to be heightened, those anxieties. But my issues lie deeper in the starting rotation. I just don't think it's proven enough. And outside of Ryu and I guess now Ray.
Ray's been lights out.
He's been great. It was a waste of start.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And one of his best ones.
Run with it, Craig.
So on that whole fact, we've been harping on it for a long time and whatnot here, but the fact that the Blue Jays have two legit starters here is pretty nice. We're getting a complete wild card with Steven Matz. That's fine.
Yep.
I'm not terribly worried about that. But then what? We don't have anybody after the fact that is now even able to pick up the off start that Matz has. Who comes out of that bullpen and even runs with anything and eats up innings? Right now, we're 7 layers deep in our bullpen depth in our minor league system. There's nobody left in Trenton to pull up anymore for the now not so Buffalo Bisons, but it's going to get to a point they're going to have to start putting starters and bring up guys like Anthony Kay and whatnot just to be able to fill out those innings and keep them in there. And I didn't want to see them be in the bullpen because I think they still have full-on crazy awesome looks to be as pitchers in the starting rotation. And the only thing I can hope at the moment right now is that, you know, to your point a minute ago, of Ross Stripling has finally maybe made those adjustments to finally take some of the burden off of this bullpen that has been having a rough go of it lately. And to your other point over the weekend, who broke Tyler Chatwood? What happened?
Yeah.
Completely off the rails from what we were seeing. He's looking like Chicago Cubs Tyler Chatwood at the moment, not what we Blue Jays fans have had the fortune of seeing from him. And I wonder how much of that was the fact that he all of a sudden has been kind of shoved into a closer's role. And maybe that burden is just something that he can't handle the mindset for, or is it letting too much of the noise of the ball game get in? It seems psychological to me because I didn't see a ton of mechanical changes to his point over the weekend here and whatnot to completely be hampering him over going forward. But there is something going on that we need to make sure that this bullpen can get somebody to step up. And I don't know who that person is right now. And I'm sorry to say, it ain't the guy who just joined the bullpen in Carl Edwards Jr. I love the kid's talent, but he's just as raw as any of these other guys that I feel like we've been talking about. And I don't know who takes that next step and is able to do that. Unfortunately, it might take somebody like Nate Pearson just coming up and throwing a wild card, you know, chucking the dart at the wall and hoping it sticks right now, because right now there's not that quick reinforcement, hence the in need of relief title for tonight's show.
Yeah, okay.
Are we there though? Are we really there right now?
Not.
Yeah, I can't get there right now. Look, I understand that this team is exciting and I'm not trying to put it down, and I don't want fans to think that we don't believe in this team. I do believe in the talent of this team, and I think I speak for both all three of us when I say that. But at the same time, how far removed are we from last year? And I understand we don't have George Springer. I understand, like we just said, people got hurt. But right now, the Jays have a record of 30-28. Okay, they're 7 games behind first place. This time last year was a 60-game season. Last year, they finished 32-28. Okay, so they win 2 more games. They're in the exact same position that they are last year. Now, obviously, they're going to eclipse that. But 60 games deep, they're pretty much the same team. Great. And this is with better competition that they've been facing throughout the first half of the year. I'll give them that. But I don't want to be relying on schedules, man. I don't want to be relying on just one all-star coming back, albeit a really good player. I need this front office right now to put up or shut up. Because if we can't trust the bullpen, which is, I think, what we're all saying right now, if we can't trust the bullpen, I need our starters to go 7-8 innings. We can't risk it. We can't have a one-run lead and throw it to the bullpen. I had no issues with Ray continuing to go. Yeah, he gave up a home run, but that's what he does. He'll give up a home run.
That was the blip
there
on the radar at that point.
That's
who cares? Just let him keep trucking.
Let him go.
I don't know what his inning count or his pitch count was at that point, but he was cruising. Cruising.
It doesn't matter. But we have Greinke going a full game against us.
Yeah, yeah.
When's the last time a Blue Jays player did that?
I don't even remember last time I touched the eighth inning, to be honest.
Speaking of throwing a dart at the board.
Yeah, yeah. No kidding.
Insert random name here. It might be Josh Towers.
That would be scary if it was that long ago. Based on what you guys are saying, and Adam, to your point about them being not too far off from last year and the fact that they are missing guys right now, does it kind of feel to you that maybe some of our feelings could be we are a little too tired of keep on resting on a Springer's about to start a rehab assignment? Biggio started his. We hear rumblings about Julian Merriweather and Ryan Barucki. To me, it feels like the team is one or two pieces away right now, and those one or two pieces are on the injured list. It just kind of feels like I want the gap to be bridged and see the team back a little bit more healthy than they currently are. Cause it feels like, you know what, if you get Chatwood back to his self from the first couple months of the year, then you have 3 relievers you can trust. And then maybe Merriweather comes back and Barucki, and then your bullpen starting to look good again. Springer comes back and that just lengthens that lineup that much more, 1-7 and maybe even 8. It just feels like they got to get over this little bit of a hump. They're kind of limping to the finish line in a way for when the reinforcements comes back. I don't know. Does that resonate with any of you?
I don't like that. I don't like that.
It's uncomfortable.
It's like me at work. The hurry up and wait concept doesn't exactly get anything done. You know,
it's true. It's true. And you know, we need to really evaluate the AL East. First of all, it's the best division in baseball. It's not even close. It's not close. If the Blue Jays were in the Central right now, we'd be talking about them in a run for first place.
Yeah,
this isn't close. So we need to decide, are the Yankees what we're seeing? There are rumblings that apparently they're going to be sellers at the deadline. Okay, so let's just put them aside because we know how they like to, quote unquote, retool. They'll just be pretty good next year again.
Right.
I think Boston's legit. I'm just going to say I think they're legit. It pains me to say it, but
the sample size right now is unfortunately leaning in your direction.
Yeah. I think they're legit. I think Tampa Bay is legit. Are we going to eclipse those two teams, barring a major trade transaction at the deadline? And I'm talking major.
Yeah.
This can't be some bullshit little, oh, we got a reliever. No, we need something solid. Are we convinced that the Blue Jays can be better than those two teams? I am not.
But can they be better than Cleveland or Houston with one of those additions? And that's all you got to worry about at that point.
I think they can be better than Cleveland. I don't know that they can be better than Houston.
I think one way or the other, we're in that conversation. And that right now, that is because we are one of the top five offenses in all of baseball. And that is because of Vlad Jr., the reigning AL MVP or player of the month, and Marcus Semien has been on fire. And there's been so much good things going on in the offense. But the problem is we are so one-sided. This is not three-dimensional baseball. This is one side of the baseball going on here. We can't pitch our way out of a brown paper bag right now when it comes to anybody past Ryu or Ray. And I'll give you Mets and maybe Stripling. I'll put those two in the same category for right now. But when
they're a tier below.
Yeah, it's a noticeable jump. You know, it's not just like, you know. So, but without that bullpen help right now, I just don't know how they're going to ever get over the hurdle. Because right now, at the middle of them, we need somebody to be able to bridge those gaps for those three starters that we really don't know what we're going to be getting. Like tonight, we got Alek Manoah pitching, and we've literally seen Jekyll and Hyde at this point, right? We've seen ungodly amazing performance against the New York Yankees where he was completely amped up, and then another game where he obviously was going through some growing pains. As far as getting into the majors, he was having trouble finding the strike zone that second start where he was pummeling at the first start. I think that's night and day for him, and that's what's going to end up being. But is he going to be our fifth starter going forward? That's still even a wild card.
Totally.
You know, so yeah. There's just so many of these little things that are ifs and buts, and it's all revolving around pitching. They need to get something. Come on, we even let Ryan Tepera be one of the best relievers go to the freaking Cubs in the last month. You know, so.
You know, no, that's
there's
a good
gotta
point.
There's got to be somebody like that, that you know well enough that you can bring back this organization and just let them run through it a little bit. I don't know who that person is off the top of my head, but there's got to be somebody you can get readily handed that can eat up two innings at a time or something right now.
Yeah. You know, you talked about this team being a top five offensive team, right? So that automatically calls me back to 2015.
This I was just going to say that.
This pitching staff is not as good as 2015's pitching staff. I obviously know we had David Price back then, but you can mirror David Price to Ryu at this point.
But even at that point, he was only a third of the season.
That's what I'm saying. So, like,
so
that pitching staff, even without David Price, I think overall, you're talking bullpen included, was better than what we have overall.
There definitely were less question marks with that rotation. It may not have had the ceiling that this one does, but there were definitely less question marks. There's more stability, and I know everybody hates that word in relation to R.A. Dickey, but there was more stability with him. Mark Burley was good, and Marco Estrada came in and ran away with a job before David Price was acquired. So,
do you want the terrible comparison?
Yeah, go for it.
This screams 2003 behind a Holiday and Burnett to me.
Yeah, nothing.
It's okay, well, what do you do? Okay, you can throw six innings today and be extremely mediocre, and then we're going to have Delgado just fucking knock balls off the Hard Rock Cafe. All right, we can live with that. But that's where I'm in the ballpark with it. In that year, we were on the tipping point. The Blue Jays were in the playoff race until August, mid-August, and then Boston Red Sox had a trip. They were, you know, in Fenway, and then it's like they got like I said earlier, the air came out of the tires. They weren't in it anymore. And then by the time the following week, when I happened to be there, the Red Sox freaking trucked right over them in the Rogers Center. It just Yeah. And like by that point, you didn't have anything other than the offense going. Or Roy Halladay, or I'm going to make him the comparison to Ryu right now, and then A.J. Burnett in Robbie Ray. So, yeah. And that bullpen was rough. And a lot, and I think a lot of that season was the same exact situation where they planned it as X, and all these injuries got to the point where Brian Tallett was taking major innings at the end of a ball game. You know, it's just that's where we're at right now. You're getting all these guys that are so far up the depth chart now because you're hoping to get those guys back, and I don't like the idea of hoping. To the point you guys said we're waiting on Julian Merriweather. Julian Merriweather's thrown, what, 5 innings at major league
level?
Yeah,
he's not proven. I can't rely on that.
I love his stuff, and I love him as a major league pitcher, and I think he's going to be one of the better all bullpen arms for the Blue Jays going forward here in the next 3 years. But is that now?
No.
Even, and that's the catch.
He's not proven. Trust that he'll stay healthy. So I think we're all in agreement that the menu for the trade deadline, just because the conversation has gone this way, is – very much like 2015's deadline, probably just minus Tulo. So you're looking at your equivalent of LaTroy Hawkins, who was okay with the Blue Jays. Mm-hmm. You're looking at your equivalent of Mark Lowe, who was dominant for the Mariners and was actually really good as a Blue Jay. And you're also looking for your David Price equivalent.
Yeah.
We don't even need the David Price equivalent. We really don't.
I really think they could get away with two or mediocre guys and get them in a trade at the right price, and it will be a mutual trade for both locations. I'm looking at you, Pittsburgh.
Listen, I'll take an ace. I don't get me wrong. I'll take it. And, like, my apprehension when it comes to this front office is they're really good at building a team. Are they good at strategy? Because I'm not placing any of these losses on Montoyo. I'm placing it on them. Because the analytics sheet say put this person in at this specific scenario. There's no more feel for the game. All right. So I'm not sure that they know how to properly win games, and they're relying too much on what computers say in analytics instead of feeling out the game. So do I trust that they're going to
– Yesterday. Was it really Dolis' inning to –
No.
Why were you trucking him out there on that inning and watch him get lit up? That was not the right place to be using him, in my opinion, anyway. But then again, I'm just an asshole on a podcast. Who, what the fuck do I know?
I just don't. It seemed backwards. They need to put up or shut up when it comes to trading prospects. I'm done. I love our prospects, but I get rid of all of them. And we win a World Series, I'm happy for 20 more years.
Well, we just found out we're still great with catching because Riley Adams came up and hit a double in his debut. Right now, honestly, guys, I don't even give a fuck with the injuries. I'm starting Riley Adams every damn day. I don't even care.
Well, hey, why don't you go ahead and give yourself segue points then, because
that's
the next topic of conversation. Danny Jansen's on the injured list. He hurt himself on Sunday. And Riley Adams, to your point, has come up to the bigs. And he looked pretty good in his first start last night. I had never really looked up a picture of Riley Adams. I had no idea how huge he was, like 6'4". He's a big target behind the plate. And his swing, it just seems like effortless power. And that was a big thing of Riley Adams. And he almost hit a homer last night, just went off the wall. So, Craig, Riley Adams, is he here to stay? Do you think that he can at least run away with a job? And if he does, who has to worry more? Is it Reese or is it Danny Jansen?
I think I told you when they brought Reese McGuire up last time. I'm like, why the fuck are we wasting a 40-man roster spot on Reese McGuire when Riley Adams is already at least him? And so, I've had the pleasure of watching Riley Adams just from minor league baseball and whatnot, being, you know, from our buddy Ari Deering me as the minor league guru years back when we were all at Jay's Journal. But he has really, really went to town on his swing over the last 2 years. And this is something he started working on before the no minor league season last year. And he clearly had to have been doing something like that at the mini camp stuff last year with this new leg kick kind of thing going on. I don't know who the hell taught him it, because obviously it's not like Josh Donaldson's still around that's teaching people the leg kick or not. But that, it just, like you said, effortless, and it was greatly timed out, and he has been raking in the minor league so far this season. So at this point, it's the same thing last year that happened with Alejandro Kirk. He was just completely, you know, torching the ball in the mini camp stuff. They're like, you know what, fine, just go out there, see what happens. And we saw what King Kirk could do. So Riley Adams is very much in that same mold, that he's going to be an offensive first guy. But this is also a guy that was athletic enough. He played some second base and shortstop in the Blue Jays minor league system when he was in Vancouver. So if he was good enough to be even taking reps even in those positions, it's very intriguing to me that he has the legs to even be back there and maybe contribute something to this offense that much more, because he is athletic enough to even handle the position.
Adam?
Not to say that I don't have confidence in him. It's always fun to see a new face, especially in the catching position that we have all talked about ad nauseum, that is in desperate need of upgrade.
In flux.
I need to see it more. I need to see more from him than just a double, albeit almost a home run, in a kind of small ballpark. And right now I'm trucking out Reese's a week. That's just me. Defensively, I liked what I have seen from Reese in the way he's been calling games. Offense has been lacking, not even going to deny it. But I want a left-handed bat in this lineup. It needs to be balanced. So as of now, unless like Ryu's like, no, he's my guy, get out of here, Reese. Fine. And obviously, he Adams caught Ray quite well yesterday. We can say that.
Yeah. Just a touch.
Yeah, he called a good game. Like, imagine having that much faith in a rookie to call your game when you're rolling so far.
On that piece, though, at least Riley Adams has been taking reps with the big league guys, because he has been on the 40-man roster since last season.
Yeah.
So yeah. He's not unfamiliar with these guys. And I'm not saying Reese is, too, but to the point, it's the two sides of the coin, right? Defense with Reese, offense with Riley, and you're probably not going to get too much crisscrossing in lines there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think right now, at least in my opinion, and again, this might be a hot take, and I don't want you guys to get roasted for this on the Twitter sphere, but I'm going to say it anyways. I'm at the point where I appreciate what we have in a guy like Marcus Semien. I think he's been fantastic for us, obviously. I'm kind of at the point where I wish they invested a little bit more in pitching and the catching position, and I could maybe do without Semien if those two things were in the equation already. I'm not saying I'd rather have, you know, I wish Semien was out of here. That's not what I'm saying. But if they went a different route in the offseason, I don't know that I'm complaining.
If you could have shuffled things around.
Yes.
But I want
18 million is a lot.
It is a lot. But that is something they could have dusted maybe over a couple of those pieces like you were talking about.
Yeah.
I just wanted to give you this point. I'm going to leave the batting average out for Riley Adams, because I don't think it really accurately shows his minor league system, because he wasn't playing as much right off the bat. It's really extensive in the last month here that he's really been crushing it. He's got 6 home runs, 14 runs scored, and then 9 RBIs, and it's in a total of 25 games so far. That's Triple A baseball, but. Like I thought that kind of translate. I think he has the stuff to translate.
I hope so.
But like I said,
production.
Yeah. So, but to that point right now, I think if you're looking at the two of them, they're completely interchangeable. You're hoping for either offensive upside or the defense.
Well, so. I mean, Riley Adam might have the defense, but to answer your question, Brendan, I never did. Jansen's in trouble.
Yeah.
King Kirk's going to come back eventually, too.
I mean, he made a boneheaded run to third. He did not need to do that, and he gets hurt as a result. You're not a rookie anymore. These are fundamentals, and you've been slumping offensively, and you make a boneheaded base running move like that, dude, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm all set.
No, he definitely won't be the starter when he comes back, because I don't know what the timing will look like with Kirk and Jansen coming back. But
it's going to look eerily similar, I think.
Do you guys think that he's in as much trouble as losing a roster spot entirely? Because in my mind, you DFA Reese, because they've already done it once and he hasn't shown anything for anybody else to pick him up.
Yeah. I kind of had a mark that you would probably do that, but then you are either turning Kirk or Adams back, and depending on what either of them are doing, you know, it's going to come down to those three, I think, in that conversation. But who really runs away with it? But to Adams' point, I'm hoping that they actually try to trade for somebody right now for a playoff push.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe instead of the Troy Tulowitzki edition, it needs to be Hetcher. That can actually hit and be behind the plate, because that is definitely a sore spot, and it has been for the last 3 years.
I want a good joke here from Mr. Kevin Biggio lover up here. When's he going to do the flip-flop of his dad's career and just become the Blue Jays' full-time catcher?
Yeah.
His dad was a catcher in the minor league system for the Astros. I think his first two seasons.
He probably could.
You probably could. And you know what? Like, how it's gotten to the point where I'm like, what's Caleb Joseph doing?
At least you can get your two claps and the Ric Flair.
That's what I'm saying. If it was up to me, I'm sending Jansen to the minors. And I know he's probably going to have a stint there because of rehab. But get right down there and stay down there until you're right. And if you're not, we have no room for you. I understand. At this point, it's just stubbornness.
Yeah.
Right? We need to – it's put up or shut up. And if Riley Adams is going to be the guy to put up, you know, sort of like Alejandro Kirk did, then ride the wave. And at that point, when Kirk is ready to come back, then you DFA Reese. And I know that's really scary to have two legit rookies, unknowns on your roster to be the catchers. But as long as they're producing, what other choice do you have? And especially if you can't make a trade for a catcher, what other choice do you have?
To your point, how is that any different than our bullpen right now? You're relying on a lot of young arms in our bullpen to do big things. That catching conversation would be the same thing, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And you can make the argument that the catching situation is a little bit more dire, right? A little bit more the game is more on the line than how the game is called by a catcher than the bullpen. You can sort of escape and have luck on your side when it comes to a bullpen arm. When it comes to a catcher, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to know your opponents and the batters and, you know, what they're looking for. It's a game of chess. Correct. You know, with the bullpen, you're like, here's my best stuff, bro. Take
good
it
luck.
Leave it. Yeah, exactly.
No, I hear you.
Well, let's move on. We started a series with the Chicago White Sox last night and dropped an absolute gem from Robbie Ray, where he struck out 13 batters. He almost matched his career high 14. Very close. It was one solo shot near the end of his start. And Craig, you asked the question earlier. I believe he was a little shy of 100 pitches. He may have been right at 100 or 101. Still, I think he had plenty of left in the tank.
One more inning.
Exactly. Or at least just try. Just force it a little bit more. And if the rails completely fall off, then it's what it, like Charlie. That's defensible in a post game press conference. Like what? He was cruising, and then he just totally fell apart. But then people would find fault elsewhere. But regardless,
that's gonna happen anyway. Don't worry about it.
Exactly. No matter what a manager does, sometimes there will always be some blame somewhere.
At least that would have been my New Year's resolution of this team actually getting a pair of balls and using their gut.
So let's assign some blame to last night's game, because you know what? It was 1-0 for the majority of the game, and the Blue Jays had a legit ace, a guy who threw a no-hitter in Carlos Rodon on the ropes multiple innings at a time, especially at the beginning of the game, sometimes with two base runners on. It reminded me so much of when they failed to score against Corey Kluber in the first three innings of the 2016 ALCS, when the Blue Jays got two runners on base, each of the Kluber, and couldn't score a run. Now, the Blue Jays scored one yesterday, but that clearly wasn't enough when it was turned over to the bullpen. So, Adam, are you blaming the bullpen for not being able to keep it tied at least for a little while longer than they did? Are you blaming the managerial decision to take Robbie Ray out? Or is this more on the offense not capitalizing against Rodon, who, you know what, credit where credit's due, he still got out of the jams. He got the outs when he needed it, but it was not the Carlos Rodon that had been pitching for the majority of the season so far.
All the above. you know, a lot of people like to focus on the bullpen, and I get it. And we talked about this in the beginning of the show. I totally get it. But let's not take the offense out of the equation here when it comes to blame. There have been times where there was a runner on third with, I think, either no men, one out or no outs. And there were opportunities to score, and they just weren't scoring. I know at the top of my head, Bo Bichette had an opportunity, didn't cash in. I want to say Teoscar had an opportunity, didn't cash in. You need to cash in those runs. This is an old Blue Jays fable of having difficulty of hitting with runners in scoring position. I don't want to regress back to that. The bullpen, we talked about it, 5 runs in the 8th inning. I don't know what Trent Thornton was doing out there, but okay. Robbie Ray, again, if he didn't give up that blast, he might have gone a little bit longer. I don't know. But he was still cruising. When you have 13 strikeouts, man, you don't take a guy like that out. If he's cruising, I don't care what the pitch count is. I don't care what your computers say. If he's cruising, you go with it. This is the same argument we were having about Shoemaker last year in the playoffs. This is the same thing.
Not to mention, like you said, that was finally the blast that happened, and you brought DeLeese in just for those two outs?
Yes.
Those two outs?
Yes. You keep him rolling, dude. He's the guy that keeps – he's going to give up a bomb. We talked about this. But again, so it's on the manager for pulling him out. It's on the bullpen for blowing up the game and just getting yourself in that jam. It's on the offense for not producing and driving in the runs when you have to. The White Sox are good, but I'm not convinced they're that much better than the Jays. I'm really not. I think they might be a little bit mirror image to the Jays. I don't think that they can't defeat the White Sox, but when you're making boneheaded plays like this and you're literally relying on analytics, it takes out the equation that we're thinking Charlie Montoyo is fireable. He's not. You can't be fired for doing what the ownership and what the front office is telling you to do.
I'm
right?
A corporate puppet.
Yeah, no, I mean, you like to call him a bridge manager, and I'm guilty of that because I've been saying that since day one. Yeah. But how can he be a bridge manager if he's doing exactly what they want him to do? It ultimately comes down, and I know it's weird, but losses like this ultimately come down to the front office and how they dictate decision-making. That is my biggest gripe of this. Sure, the offense driving in those runs is a big part of this, but the decision-making process, I think, is a huge issue with the Jays, and they need to adjust, and front office just needs to let go a little bit.
So, Craig? All right, pointing my finger. Middle of our lineup last night, 12 runners on base left. So if you look at 3, 4, 5, literally stranded 12 base runners. Can't do that. I don't care what level of baseball you're at. If it's softball, little league, whatever, you can't leave 12 runners on base. Or even to go that step further, bat 1 for 12 with runners in scoring position. It's honestly amazing we got the one run. If you're looking at it that way, and it was good timing, I guess, but this game got away from them on offense all, and they probably shouldn't have even been in that situation for the bullpen to implode the way it did. If you look at the stats, you would hope that at least a quarter of those runs scores. That means this is basically a level ball game. You know, if they score 4 runs in the eighth, you know, 5-5-ish, somewhere in that ballpark, right? Okay, great. You're still cruising through the end of the game. They weren't going to score anything in the top of the ninth after getting demoralized or six runs in two innings. I don't care how resilient or gritty this team is. That was just, ow. That's about the best way of saying it. I don't know what else to think of it, but like I said, the runners being left on in scoring position and the fact that our best hitters were more or less riding the pine, I guess. Guerrero was the only one that had the hit out of those three guys. And as you had mentioned, Teoscar left somebody on in key situation. He left 6 runners on base himself. That's not how this offense has carried itself all season. And I can't say that was all because of Carlos Rodon. The Blue Jays offense had an off night, and it carried through the rest of the stuff. I can only hope that tonight against another rookie, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't this the...
No, it's Lance Lynn.
That's Lance Lynn. Because, you know, he is a perfect guy to run into after we have a bad offensive night, the way he's been pitching this year.
Yep.
So, and credit where credit's due. The White Sox are, to what you mentioned, Adam, I think very on parallel with where the Blue Jays' current projection is. And they are a team that is on the rise fully in the AL Central and really have planted the flag, I think, there as far as things go. Their pitching come on. Guys, this is a team that has been doing what they've been doing without their best pitcher, Lucas Giolito, doing what Lucas Giolito has done the last two seasons. So, yes, he's coming on a little bit lately, but yeah, Rodon and company have been carrying this team pitching-wise, and Tim Anderson and company have done enough on the offensive side of the ball, and the reigning MVP in Jose Abreu. So it's going to be a fun series, unfortunately, but it wouldn't shock me if we're doing a lot of this back-and-forth stuff as we play the White Sox this season, period.
Yeah, Buck and Pat were saying last night during the Dan and Buck during the broadcast were saying they wouldn't be surprised if over the next few years this becomes a real rivalry. I know you're not in the same division, but with the way that they're building together, how young they both are, and hopefully sustainable their growth is, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a playoff matchup or two in there over the course of the next few years. I'm with you, Craig. I think it was a ripple effect on the rest of the game when the offense didn't cash in some of those runners on base. I tweeted as soon as they got a couple of runners on in the first innings, like, please score some early runs against Rodon because chances aren't going to come around. But they continued to, and I was getting more and more frustrated when they only could muster one run in around the fifth, sixth inning. No matter how good Ray was pitching at the time, there were people on Twitter last night saying, this just has a feeling of a game that they're going to end up losing. And sure enough, they did, because of maybe everybody was in a bad mood because those runs didn't score. Makes sense. And that led to Ray needing to be virtually perfect. And aside for that one solo home run, he was. But the one solo home run was enough to not be perfect and keep them in a position to turn it over to Dolis and Romano and keep that going forward. Yeah. So the lack of runs scored was definitely a ripple effect on yesterday's game. And you know what? It's definitely the offense's fault. But at the same time, bullpen, you got to come in and at least try to shut the door. Or don't let it be five runs. Like, if they went into the ninth 3-1, then at least you give yourself a fighting chance.
We were in the game, at least, right?
Exactly. Then you're still in the game. But after giving up five runs and it's 6-1 against the White Sox, you're not coming back with one inning to go. Yeah. So it was a tough one because that was definitely a winnable game for the vast majority of it. And it was blown, and they're going to need to start beating some of these better teams like the Astros and the White Sox more consistently to stay in that wild card race and keep up with some of those other teams. So tough one.
To make a dumb joke, you guys ever seen that Simpsons episode where Lisa becomes a vegetarian all of a sudden, and then Homer has the barbecue, and then the pig's like going away because she wheels it out of the barbecue, and it's going through like bushes, drainage ditches, and all of a sudden it's like flying, and Homer and Bart are chasing after it the whole time going, it's still good, it's still good, don't worry about it. That is literally how I felt the whole game last night. And then the five run inning happened. Don't worry, it's still good, it's still good, it's still good.
We're still winning, it's okay.
It's gone.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt as soon as the fifth, the five run inning happened.
It's
totally fair. The rest of the series, you know what? I wouldn't say it shapes up poorly, but it definitely doesn't look really good. Lance Lynn is 7-1. Not that records are what they used to be, but still 7-1 is a nice, impressive mark to have in your resume with a 1.3 ERA. So to say he's been dominant, he's been dominant.
They win when he pitches is what it really boils down to.
They do. The White Sox typically win when Lance Lynn pitches. That being said, they had success against Lance Lynn in the past, but not this version of Lance Lynn.
I don't know what he's going to do this year, man.
Check the ball. Sticky substance, the spider attack or whatever it is. And then tomorrow's Dallas Keuchel against Hyunjin Ryu. That game definitely feels winnable to me. Keuchel is not as good as he used to be, 4.25 ERA. And you got Ryu going, and you know he's going to want to bounce back after that rough start against Houston. So I don't know what I can't remember what we predicted and for this series, because we already did the two games, but I think we had 3-3. Craig, you may have had 4-2. Not that we're going into predictions for the next series yet, but just wanted to recap what we thought.
I'm already wrong, because I said we were going to get swept by the freaking Astros, and then we were going to do the flip against the White Sox in this series. So I might still come out being the right record, but
it was close.
Yeah. 3-3. No matter how you get there, that's all right.
Yeah. Brendan, you had 3-3. Me and Adam both had 4-2.
Okay. So we'll review that before we make our next picks. But we have one more topic before we go into there and start to wrap up the show to get everybody over to Blue Jay Central. Yes, we are pretending we are a legitimate Rogers Sportsnet affiliate right now. Get you over to Blue Jay Central.
Let me put on my right hat.
Exactly. Craig, the Blue Jays have committed to playing the first two series after the All-Star break in Buffalo against the Texas Rangers and the Boston Red Sox. That coming on the same day, or maybe it's the day after, that the Rogers Center had announced, or Rogers announced, that game day staff has been laid off for Rogers Center folks. I believe they kept them around last year just as a sign of good faith. During the pandemic and people hurting for money. The reason given was because of a lack of concerts so far. But the fact that they've already committed to Buffalo after the All-Star break and have laid off game day staff, to me at least, signals no matter what the border situation is like, they're going to finish the year in Buffalo. And that is what Eagles14 on Twitter, I know she's listened to this show before, tweeted yesterday that she has heard rumblings that they've made their mind up already. They are going to play the rest of the year in Buffalo. And that's kind of where the tea leaves are going at this point. Regardless of the border situation, Craig, with those two things going hand in hand, do you think they're just going to ride the rest of the season out there? Because the one thing I was thinking yesterday, unless there's some really relaxed COVID protocols, kind of like what they're getting in Buffalo right now when they come back to Toronto, why would they come here when they're probably going to have stricter protocols and not be able to leave at all? In my mind, as a team, you want to stay in Buffalo and have the freedom to go out to restaurants and do stuff as a team because they've met that 85% vaccination threshold. So
which has just happened.
Yeah, it just happened this past Monday. I'm guessing that you are all on board for them to finish the year in Buffalo. And it, look, it seems like it's going that way anyways.
Yeah, from all the, like you said, there's just too many wild, you know, pieces of the puzzle here that just scream, I'm sorry, the Blue Jays are not going to be making it back to their home for this season. And the big thing is the team being comfortable right now in Buffalo. Right now, the quote-unquote infection rate in Western New York is somewhere in the 2 or 3% ballpark here, and they are close to 50% in that area of New York State vaccinated. It kind of leans to the ballpark that, okay, well, it's just kind of easier to stay here, and they're comfortable, and they're finally, you know, quote-unquote home for the way they've been talking about it over the last few weeks. I know I'll give you a mixed opinion on if how well they've been playing since they've been home. But I think it's just one of those things. They're talking already after the, you know, Canada Day, 4th of July, that they're going to have 85% ticket sales. Okay, well, if that's the case, then it's just they're going to finally be getting some revenue. And to that point, you might not even be getting 10 or 15 if you go back up to the Rogers Center, which I take you because of fun with math actually is more tickets in the Rogers Center still are damn near close to the same thing. So, but it's there's just too much screaming and wondering. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, that ship might have sailed over the Niagara Falls idea thing at this point. So. But Blue Jays fans, will us here in Western New York, will take good care of the Buffalo or the Toronto Blue Jays.
Nice.
I didn't mean to. I blame all my Yankee friends that are starting to call them the Buffalo Blue Jays.
All right, a couple things. You don't make these upgrades. You don't put this much money into a stadium to just do it for a month or two.
I agree.
This is for the remainder of the regular season for sure. A lot of people want to point to the NHL and what they're doing with, you know, cross-bordering there. It's vastly different than what's going on. You're there for a couple of series. You're having different teams, multiple different personnel coming in and out. It's a lot different. And, you know, hopefully Canada, to no fault of, you know, you guys, the citizens, primarily, obviously this is a governmental failure, but and again, no disrespect, but hopefully you guys are vaccinated quicker and quicker and they're available for you. That's the number one thing. But I digress. I think that, again, this is here to stay for the regular season. It would not surprise me. I'm not saying it's the Blue Jays. It would not surprise me that this might open expansion talks. We can talk about that some other time, but when it comes to expanding the league, having a team in Buffalo would not surprise me.
They're just already talking about the newspapers here.
I'm not surprised.
A lot of it's because of the buzz that's created in the town. It's even totally. We feel it all the way over here in Rochester. It's completely different. So
that's what I'm saying.
The Buffalo Bisons game when they come here to Rochester to play the Rochester Red Wings is already sold out.
There you go.
None of the other games are, just to put out there.
Yeah,
and we like, you know, our Red Wings, but they're a minor league affiliate of the Washington Nationals now. It's not the same thing. You now have a throughway thing going on with the Blue Jays being right down the street, and the next wave of tickets go on sale actually tomorrow to anybody listening to the show for the post Yankees series through the 4th of July Canada Day. So if you can sneak over the border,
hey,
there you go.
Possible.
Tickets go on sale, I think, at 10 a.m.
Get shot number two.
Yes.
But, you know, I do think that there will be issues, assuming the Blue Jays do make the playoffs, if we're going to go there. Again, we said this before, at least I have. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I'm not comfortable with playoffs being held in Buffalo. It's just my opinion. I want it to be held in a bigger stadium.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like the Mets are not going to make the playoffs. I don't know if I want the Blue Jays playing playoff games in Yankee Stadium if that option was available.
Especially if it was against Yankees and calling that a home game. Bullshit.
That's what I'm saying.
Go to Milwaukee, freaking Chicago, anywhere other than Yankee Stadium. Whoever doesn't
make
the playoffs.
I can see protesting it. I really can. I can see teams not being okay with playing a playoff game that matter or wild card game. In a AAA stadium. Now, this is all for nothing if the Blue Jays don't have home field advantage, but if they end up going to a 7-game series or a 5-game series, eventually they're going to play home. So,
or even to that point, they have we were talking about earlier in the show, the wild card is really the aiming point in the bottom that this team needs to be performing to, right? if yeah. you're trying for that game, it's 2016 all over again. We want home field advantage for that game so we can have an Ed Wing again, you know, or whatever it goes.
Do you want that against a team like Houston or a team like maybe Boston? I don't know that I do.
I don't, that's but scary. As far as it goes, yeah. I if that's how I get in the playoffs, I don't care how I get to the dance. And if it's in Buffalo, that will feel like a home game for the Blue Jays, I will tell you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the team will be there. I'm just worried about the dimensions of the ballpark.
That 16,000 seat venue will sound like 50, I guarantee you.
Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring the tables, man. Bring the tables and bring the wings.
Blue Jays tables and wings.
No ranch.
Yes.
Blue cheese, no ranch. But no, I feel like it's inevitable. I forget who you said made the comment on Twitter, but it 100%, I think it's regular season. And look, we've talked about it, Canada Day in Buffalo and 4th of July. I don't think they've ever really celebrated both of them, really. So it's the first time. It's the first time the Blue Jays will have a home game on Canada Day on American soil. So I think that's pretty cool. I mean, like, I know it's a bummer, but they're also going to be playing on the 4th of July in America, and it's a home game. So, yes. Like, I just think that's cool. That's all. Yeah. That's all.
Totally.
It's a first in sports, I would think, honestly.
Yeah.
I'd imagine so. I would definitely imagine so. But, yeah, no, I think it just makes the most amount of sense, given that if they were to come back to Toronto, the protocols would be harsher than they would be if they stayed in Buffalo. And, as I said at the top of the show, border restrictions are changing. Again, if you are a Canadian who has both of your doses, and starting in July, if you do buy tickets to go see the Blue Jays play at Salem Field for Canada Day, maybe, you can come back and be fine and not have to quarantine. So it won't disrupt your work. It won't disrupt anything. You don't have to go into a hotel, do any of that. So there could be very much so an opportunity for us Blue Jays fans in Ontario to drive down to the border with both of your vaccines and come back and proceed life like normal. So it just makes most amount of sense for that to happen. And we'll see. It does seem like everything's going that direction. And you know what? Hopefully they can catch fire and pick up where they left off last year. Interesting start to their Buffalo season so far, but
They're one catalyst away.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, with that, guys, it's getting close to 7:45, getting close to first pitch. Let's wrap things up with our picks to click for the Yankees series. I skipped a series. Who's on the weekend? The Red Sox, the four-game Red Sox series, and three games against the Yankees. I don't know who wants to start. Craig, you want to start?
Well, let's go over last week first, but you're jumping man. You had Ross Stripling. I had Lourdes Gurriel Jr., Randall Grichuk. Oh, sorry. Adam had Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and I had Randall Grichuk. So, honestly, I'm with you, either of your guys' picks on that. Grichuk was pretty lumped this week. And the only reason I'm leaning in Lourdes' direction is he had a couple key home runs and actually is starting to really turn it on a little bit. But Ross Stripling had two decent starts.
Hold on. And Lourdes had a nice gun out at home against the Astros.
There was that. And he actually should have almost had that one the other day, I think, at second base, too.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot closer than the umpire gave him credit.
Yeah, I don't think one five-inning start of Stripling will put it over the edge. Over Lourdes. I think that's to you, Adam.
You just made Bobby K and the Twitter feed very upset. He was all over Ross Stripling being awesome again.
He was good. I'm not taking it away from him.
I'm just balling.
He has stabilized that fifth spot, and hopefully he can continue it, because that would be nice to have some stability at the bottom of the rotation.
I'm going to say this because I don't want to hear it tonight, but Adam, you can put that one on the board.
Yes. Say that now on the Blue Jays podcast so that we don't hear it on the White Sox broadcast feed. That's your logic, Craig. But yes, Craig, start with the winner. So Adam, you get to pick your pick to click or your player first.
All right. We're going to Boston, right? So,
yep.
Oh God, it's going to be rough. and then we got the Yankees. Geez. I need a safe bet. Let me go with Semien. I need a safe bet for that one, because that's going to be two tough series.
Semien. He just wants to go back-to-back for once.
Yeah, I need to go on a hot streak. So.
Yeah, go. And how do you think the record's going to shake out?
Yes, so 7 games, and when we record next week, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday, we'll just pick the series ahead.
Yep.
Okay, so you want me to go the whole series?
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to say 1 out of 4, they'll win against Boston, but then they're going to flip it back against New York. This is New York's first time in Buffalo, I think. The Yankees' first time in Buffalo this year. I'll go 2 out of 3 there. So at the end of the day, they'll go, what is that, 3 for 7? Yeah, 3 and 4.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to go with a Yankee basher in Lourdes Gurriel Jr., because I don't care. He's trending up. He could do mediocre through the Red Sox series, but if he destroys the Yankees like he typically does, I'm going to walk out with a win. And I think, to Adam's point, I think we're going to have a rough weekend here against the Red Sox. I'm going to hope for a split, but with Ryu pitching the last game of the White Sox series here, it's not lining up a way I would like. I'm hoping that we at least walk out with one win, but I think we are going to give a lump to the Yankees. They're hurt. They're worse off than us, I think, a little bit right now. And they're going to be playing in Buffalo, and I'm going to get to hear Clint Frazier and his gingerness freaking freak out and not like it all over again on Buffalo media. So I'm going to call a sweep against the Yankees. So
I love it.
Wait a minute. Is Cole pitching against us? Is he lined up against us?
Too far because out of hell at this point.
He right now is on his best behavior. So there's good chance we could be lighting up Garrett Cole because the sticky stuff ain't there.
That would be nice.
That would be actually a good deterrent for any pitcher right now, for that matter.
I think he pitches tonight.
So I think he's in the same ballpark as Ryu that he would land in that series. The Blue Jays, that is.
Yeah.
The 5th, the 14th, so Monday. Are they playing Monday?
If they play Monday,
they start the series, I think, Tuesday, don't they?
Yeah.
They do, but if they play Monday, he's scheduled to pitch on Monday because he's pitching tonight.
Right.
So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes, let's find out. I'll look
it
you
up.
Guys chat.
Either way, it doesn't change my thinking because of
doubt.
No spider tack.
Yes. Yeah. I need a win. I haven't had a win for a while, so I'm going to go Vlad and hope that he picks it up on the road. They show his splits last night. He just is crushing baseballs at home. Yeah, so there we go. There's the
he's not. Garrett Cole.
He's going to pitch
one day. He's going to miss the first game. So we're going to light his ass up.
They will miss Garrett Cole in that series. But yes, I'm going to go Vlad, pick it up on the road over the next couple games and lead us to a split against the Red Sox. That's just my rule of thumb for 4-gamers. Just get a split, and I'm happy with that. And then, 2 out of 3 against the Yankees because the Blue Jays have won all 3 series they played 2 out of 3 times. So continue those good times against the New York Yankees. So Vlad and a 4-3 record over those 7 games.
There it is.
I misspoke. He's scheduled to pitch the 2nd game of the series, not first. So he's pitching tonight. Tomorrow they got the Twins, so that's 1. They're not playing Friday. Saturday's 2. 13th.
They're not playing Friday?
That's
nope.
Odd.
13th, they have a game, so that's 3. 4 is the first game of the Blue Jays. 5th day is the 2nd. So there you go. So they will face Garrett Cole, and if he's not using those substances, which I don't think he's gonna.
He basically gave a very no comment answer to the media about that whole thing.
Yep. That was awkward as hell. Listening to that. When was the last time a team didn't play a game on a Friday? That is so weird.
It's very odd.
I'm looking that up right now just to see it. Yeah, wow. they don't. It's a 2-game series against the Phillies. Okay, all right.
There it is.
So he will pitch in Buffalo then. But yes. Gentlemen, is there anything else to add before we send our viewers over to Sportsnet?
Apparently my friend Nick is watching and he says I swing too much like Vladdy in softball. I need to get my bat under control.
That's a good thing, right? Wouldn't you want that?
I'm not hitting home runs. That would be the catch. Okay, so I'm more hitting rookie Vladdy.
I don't really have anything else to add except next week it is my turn to host, and I would, just to preview it, I do want to talk about these substance issues on the baseball because it's becoming a big issue. And if Garrett Cole is pitching next Wednesday, it might be an opportune time. So
look at that. It might line up. Segue points.
And Adam, with it being your week, the Blue Jays are playing at night on Wednesday and Thursday. So for our listeners, we can decide this later, but are you going to go on Wednesday or are you going to go on Thursday?
Well, it is my daughter's birthday next Wednesday, so I was hoping that we can go Thursday if that's possible.
Thursday sounds good. So we're back on Thursdays next week. It seems whenever I host, it's Wednesday, and it'll be the next time I host too, it'll be Wednesday. So I'm the Wednesday guy, and you guys are Thursday guys. But regardless, that's the two nights that you can find us here at Jaybird Watching. We are presented by Stadium Steen. Check them out for all your podcasting pleasures. Follow us, engage with us. Craig, you're always monitoring the chat for when people decide to chime in and have some fun with us. And yeah, let's hope the Blue Jays can at least win one of these two games against the White Sox to not have it be a total disaster going into Boston. If they somehow manage to win both games, I'd be on cloud nine going into Fenway Park. But all I'm hoping is for one. And let's hope that two claps and a Ric Flair gets them there. So let's do that. Let's go.
Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Let's go.
Manoa Mania.
Yes.